Well, anyway, good morning, everyone, and it's good to see you this morning, and welcome if you're visiting us for the first time as well, or maybe the second or third, still also really welcome. And if you've been here for a very long time, then you're welcome too, which is good. Everyone's welcome. Good. Now, today we're carrying on with our blueprint series. This is week three, and it's kind of looking at what is the blueprint, what is the plan for like our lives as people that we can discover and for us together as a church. And last week, Julian spoke on relationships, and these are some of the things we're going to be looking at. And today, we are going to be looking at accessible. Now, if anyone spotted, it's not in the right order, but don't worry about that. So today we're going to be looking at accessible and what does that mean. But first of all, something you should know about me is I'm a big fan of bagels. I love bagels. I think I first discovered the bagel when I was about 10 years old, and I especially like the cinnamon and raisin ones. But I was horrified last year on the internship when I sat down for lunch with a bagel, and Gret, who was one of the interns, who just did our kids spot there, great job, Gret, with Steph, turned to me and said, "What is that?" And she had never seen a bagel before. She could not believe that these things existed. She couldn't fathom why it had a hole in the middle, why it wasn't a donut. And so, Gret, it was your birthday this weekend, so I brought you a present. Here we go. There's some bagels for you to try. So happy birthday. And just to prove as well, because I don't know if they don't have bagels in North Wales, but in Cardiff, they even have bagel bars and, you know, dedicated to bagels. So they are a real thing. It's maybe an idea for the cafe because they don't have one of those in Swansea. So maybe we should get one of those. But whilst I was at university, I had a friend, and we both really like bagels as well. We shared this love of bagels in common. And we both studied history together. And so that combination of both loving history, both loving bagels, kind of our friendship was built on that. And then one day, when I was in my third year, I invited him along to an event that my church was running, which was a bit like an alpha course, but it was just in one night. And it was kind of looking at the history of Jesus' life and who was Jesus and asking these big questions, how do we know he's real, all that kind of stuff. And so he came along with me, and it was a really good evening, and we enjoyed it together. And then after kind of the presentation, we were having a chat, and it was in this pub just down the road from the uni. And we were having a good chat about faith and our ideas and where we were coming from. And then towards the end, he said, "Math, why did you invite me to come with you tonight? Like, why did you invite me? And why do you share your faith with people? Is it something that you, like, have to do? Is it some kind of requirement or some kind of duty or something that you have to do?" And I said, "No, that's not the reason why." I said, "Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was in Tesco?" And I'd been in Tesco a couple of weeks ago, and they had an offer on bagels, and it was 2 packs for £1, New York bagels as well, so that is an exceptional deal. And I said, "Do you remember when I was in Tesco the other day and I spotted this deal on bagels?" And so the first thing I did was I text you to say, "Mate, you've got to get yourself down to Tesco. They got 2-for-1 on bagels and they're running out. Get yourself down here because I know that you like bagels." And he was like, "Yeah, I remember." And I said, "Well, you know, there was an offer on bagels and you're my mate and I know you like bagels, so I wanted you to know, so I text you. But that's just bagels. Like, how much more would I want you to know about the greatest thing and the most wonderful thing that I have discovered, the thing that is the most important thing in my life and the best thing that you could ever know, the best thing that you could ever do, which is that there is a God who made you, who created you, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, who has a purpose for you, and who wants to know you and wants to be a part of your life. And that is something that is available to you right now today. It's accessible to you that you can discover him, you can know his help, you can know his kindness, you can know his love, you can experience him, you can know his guidance, you can be forgiven for all the mistakes that we make as people, that we don't have to live feeling guilty or ashamed of anything because God has bought freedom for us and that he is alive today and that you can have that right now. You're my friend. I would want you to know that so much more than I want you to know about bagels. And that is why I've invited you here today, because this is the best thing I've discovered and I wanted to share it with you. And so today, we're looking at the value and what is a priority for us as a church to be accessible, to make this amazing news about Jesus and what he has done and who he is accessible to everyone that we know, to every person, to every child, the smallest child, to the oldest person, to young people, to families, to everyone. So someone who maybe walks into a meeting like this for the first time and they've never had any experience of church or anything like that before, they've never come across it, to someone who has been maybe journeying with God and been living a life of faith for a long time. We want to make Jesus and who he is and God accessible to every person. And that is a value and a priority for us as a church. And I was speaking to Perba, who's just graduated. She was one of the students here. And you remember she got baptized about 18 months ago or so. And when she was, just before she was baptized and she was sharing her story, it really struck me what she said. And this is part of what she said. She said she grew up in a Hindu background, but she was an atheist herself. And she came to uni, and her housemate at uni was a new Christian, recently kind of discovered church and all the stuff we've been talking about. And so she said that she used to grill her housemate with all these types of questions. And, you know, how do you know it's real? And et cetera, grilling her. And so her friend, who is Jenny, who was one of the students here, invited her to come to church with her. And Perva said that she was happy to come to church. She was open to come because she had questions. And she came like ready with her questions to ask and to explore and find out. But she said that when she first came and met us together as a church, she felt a real peace. And she felt really welcome. And that was kind of her first impression. And she said, so she carried on coming over a few weeks, and she had lots of questions to ask. But she said, and I got it written down, the most amazing, this was Perv, what she said, the most amazing thing was I could be exactly who I was, and nobody questioned my faith or treated me differently to other people in the church who had been there for a long time or had been Christians for a long time. And I wanted to test the whole thing out, so I came for a whole year. And it was only after a year of coming that I decided that I too wanted to become a Christian. And it was the best decision I ever made. Isn't that amazing? But the bit I love is where she says, the most amazing thing was I could be exactly who I was. Isn't that amazing that she felt welcomed and that this was a place that was making Jesus accessible to her? So that's what we're looking at today. And so thinking about being accessible, what does accessible mean? What does that mean? So if you look it up in the dictionary, very simply, if something is accessible, it's something that's able to be reached. It's easily obtained, easy to understand, and if it's a person, they're friendly and approachable. So it's able to be reached, easily obtained, easy to understand, friendly and approachable. And when you think about that definition, we know that Jesus, like, equals accessible. Like, that is who Jesus was and what Jesus was all about. Jesus is, like, the most accessible person you could ever want to come across. And when Jesus, like, first came on the scene in his ministry, what was it that he preached? The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. God is accessible. You can reach out and touch him. He's available to you. The kingdom of God is near. There is access to God. He is accessible. In Mark 1, it says, just as Jesus came out of the wilderness, it says, this is what he preached. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Another translation, the kingdom of God is at hand. You can reach out and touch it. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he was all about making God accessible. That is who he was. I love the story. A little later on from this, you find it in Mark chapter 3, where Jesus went into a meeting place, into a synagogue, and there was a man there with a crippled hand. And Jesus noticed this man with a crippled hand, but then he also noticed the people around in the room, some of the religious leaders who were in charge of that meeting place. They were watching Jesus because it was a Sabbath day, it was the day of rest, and they were watching him to see if he would help this man, to see if he would heal him, because they planned that if Jesus helped him and reached out to him, that they were going to accuse him of breaking the law and working on the Sabbath. It says, since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. And so Jesus now has a choice. He's standing there. It's still quite early on in his ministry, and he's got the leaders of this meeting place who are looking at him in this way, and he's got this man with a crippled hand, and he has a choice. Who does he want to please? Who does he want to impress? What's the most important thing to him? Does he want to win these influential people over? And Jesus said, he looked at them, and he said, is this a day to do good or to do evil? And they wouldn't answer him. And it says that Jesus looked around the room, and he was angry and saddened. This is one of the only times that you see that Jesus was angry. I think it might be the only time you see that Jesus, it actually says that Jesus was angry. Because there were barriers to God in this place being put up. And Jesus was all about access. And so he brought the man to the front, in front of everyone. No hiding place. He said, come to the front and stretch out your hand. And as the man stretched out his hand, it was completely restored and it was healed. Because what was most important to Jesus? Access to God. Jesus was all about being accessible. And a little while later, a similar thing happened. He walked into a synagogue again, into a meeting place, and it says he was teaching there. And as he was teaching, he noticed a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. It says she was bent double and she couldn't stand up straight. She'd been like that for 18 years. And it says, you know, he was in the middle of talking, but as soon as he noticed her, he stopped what he was doing. It says, when Jesus saw her, he stopped and he called her over and he said, daughter, and he laid his hand on her and he healed her. And for the first time in 18 years, she stood up straight. But that sent off a few people going all a bit crazy because they were like, oh, it's the Sabbath day. And they said, if you want to get healed, if you want God to touch you, come on another day. Don't come on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is like, no, every day, the Sabbath, you know, every day, God wants to access people and God wants to meet with people. And this is a daughter of God. This is precious. This person is precious to God. Shouldn't she be able to be set free from this thing that's held her back for 18 years, even though it's a Sabbath day? And Jesus was all about making God accessible. That's who he was. And we see that ultimately when Jesus died on the cross. When God himself came as a man, and Julian explained last week about how God created us for relationship with him, but how when we've rejected God and turned away from him, it's almost like breaking that relationship, like when two friends fall out, but it's not on God's part, it's on our part. But God doesn't want that separation to be there. He doesn't want any barriers between him and us. And that's why he came himself as Jesus. God came himself as Jesus. And when he died on the cross, he took on that rejection of the world, the sin of the world, and he took it on himself. He took the punishment himself, and he died on a cross to break any barriers between us and him. So if we put our faith in Jesus, we can find access to God. And God himself came as a man to do that for us. And Jesus is alive now, and he's ready for us to enter into relationship with him. And there's no barriers between us and God because of what Jesus did. And this is a precious treasure that we have, a life-changing gift that we can reach out and take hold of. And in Ephesians 3, it says, because of Jesus and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Or another translation says, we have boldness and access in confidence through our faith in him. And when we turn to Jesus, we have access to God immediately, because Jesus was all about making God accessible. And I love the reaction of some of Jesus' closest friends when after all this, and after they kind of discovered, well, they saw it firsthand, but after they realized what Jesus had done for them, that they had access for God, their reaction in their early days is incredible, and I love it. So two of Jesus' closest friends, Peter and John, a little while after, so Jesus had died on the cross, he'd resurrected, came back to life again, and then after about 40 days of meeting with different people, he went back to heaven. And then a few days after this, Peter and John were walking towards the temple, and they say that they spotted a man who had crippled feet, and he was begging, and they reached out to him, and he was healed in Jesus' name. So this creates a bit of a stir and a bit of a crowd gathers. But the leaders of the temple there, they weren't happy that Peter and John were telling people about Jesus. And so they arrested them and they put them on trial. And when they were on trial, it says they commanded them never to speak in the name of Jesus again. They said, we don't want you ever again to tell people about Jesus. And their response is amazing. They say, well, you might say that, but we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. We cannot help it. This is the greatest news that you could ever know. This is the best thing that one could ever experience. We cannot help but tell people about what we have seen and what we have heard. They couldn't help it. And for us, as we think about this great news and this wonderful thing that we can't help but share either, one thing that we can have is confidence that this really is true and this really is reality. And that when we share it and when we talk about it, that is true and it's real. And that's one of the things that the Alpha Course is great for, which you can starting in a few weeks. And this really gets to grips with some of those key questions. Now, I studied history at uni, so the historical side is really important to me. But when you look in history, there's like no like serious historian in scholarship that would say that 2,000 years ago, a man called Jesus didn't exist. Like, it's kind of accepted as historical fact that there really was a man called Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago and who died on a cross. And the question is not, was that a real thing, but what do you do with it? And so if you want to kind of get to grips with that and ask those questions, then the Alpha Course is a really great place where you can do that. But not just like the historical side, we see God's power and the reality of God in our lives today, don't we? And in this church, and we know what God's done in our lives and in our friends, and we've seen transformed lives. And for example, with all the healings that we've seen, when we pray for people and we see people healed. And just 2 weeks ago, James Price, he'd been suffering with a bad back, and he said, you know, he didn't want to like, you know, he wasn't a drama queen, isn't it, James? He said, you know, it wasn't too bad, but I've been keeping you up in the nights, and it was causing him a lot of pain. And he said that as he was driving to church, the meeting on Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, that he turned to Sarah and said, you know what, I'm going to ask someone to pray for me today. And so I happened to see him as he came in. I was just first one he saw. And James said, oh, Matt, I'd like you to pray for me today because I've been struggling with a bad back. So after the meeting, we just standing there, prayed for James. We prayed maybe 4 or 5 times because at first didn't seem like much was happening. But after 4 or 5 times, James was like, oh, yeah, to be honest, it does feel a little bit different. It feels a little bit looser. It's still a bit twingy, but, you know, there's a difference. I can feel it. So we prayed again, and then James went home. He said that as he was driving in the car, he felt almost like a syringe, as if someone's given him an injection right in the point of his back there where it had been hurting. And he was like, oh, that was interesting. And so carried on driving home. Then he phoned me a couple of hours later to say that after that, the pain had started to go. And by the afternoon, there was no pain there at all. And I spoke to him on the Tuesday then, so a couple of nights later, and said it was completely fine. And he'd slept through the night and hadn't had any pain since. And isn't that amazing? And that's what God does, because God is real and he's alive. And this person of Jesus is true. And we can be confident that when we share this, it's reality. And that we know it's true and that we know it's real. I love the story in Acts 24, where Paul is on trial and he's in Caesarea. And this is the amphitheater in Caesarea. Now, I don't know if it happened here, but this is how I imagine, like how I like to imagine it took place. And he's on trial in Caesarea in front of a Roman governor called Festus and King Herod Agrippa and his sister Berenice. And a little fact for you, Berenice later became the mistress of the Roman Emperor Titus, who built the Colosseum. So that's an interesting fact for him. Anyway, so he's on trial in front of these people. And he's telling his story. And he says how as a young man, he ruthlessly persecuted Christians in like the early years of this faith. He ruthlessly persecuted them. He would chase after them. He would drag them out of their homes. He would throw them in prison. He would vote for them to be stoned to death. He was ruthless. But one day on one of these missions, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he realized that Jesus was alive and that Jesus was real and had a plan for his life, and it completely transformed his life. And here he was in front of this Roman governor and a king telling them this story about what happened. And at that moment, the Roman governor shouts out, Paul, you're mad. All of your study has driven you crazy. What are you talking about? Because obviously he was new to the area, so he hadn't really heard about much of what was going on yet. But I love Paul's reply. He turns and he says, I'm not mad, most honorable Festus. I'm not mad. I speak plainly, for these things weren't done in a corner. And the life of Jesus and the reality of God are things not done in a corner. We know that they are real and that they are true and that they have reality. They weren't done in a corner. And so this is a value for us to be plain. We cannot help but share about this reality and what we know and have seen in our lives. So why then? Why is it a value for us to be accessible? Why do we want to be accessible? Well, firstly, as we saw, being accessible and making God accessible is who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is, and that's what he was all about. We've just looked at that. And as a church, we want to be moving towards becoming more and more like Jesus. And so we want to imitate him and make God accessible. It's good news. It's great news about what God has done. It's the best news that we could ever know. So it's a good thing to do, to share. It's a kind thing to do. Like telling my mate about the bagels. It was a kind thing to do because he was a friend. But this great news about Jesus is a kind thing to do, to share. And in Proverbs 11, it says, your own soul is nourished when you are kind. Because this is the best news that you could ever know, the best thing you could ever experience. Thirdly, it's part of our purpose in life. It's part of our blueprint. It's what we're made for. We discover what we're made for. And it's nourishing and it's strengthening and satisfying. It's like food for our lives. It's a great time when Jesus, when he met the woman at the well and he shared with her and she discovered who he was. And then she went away to tell people in her town. And the disciples had gone to buy some food. And it says the disciples were urging Jesus to eat some food because they thought he must be hungry. And Jesus was like, I'm not hungry. And they're like, well, did he get some food from somewhere else? Is there like a spa around the corner we didn't notice? Jesus is like, no, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And then that's when he encourages them that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and to go out and let people know about God's great love. And it's like food for our lives, and we find purpose in it, and it's satisfying. And fourthly, making Jesus accessible personally in our lives with the people that we know, it allows us to be ourselves. It allows you to be yourself. Now, the other week, I was watching the Great British Bake Off final. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the Bake Off, but when the World Cup was on, Steph watched a World Cup match with me. So in return, I've watched 3 episodes of the Bake Off. So that's the exchange rate. But what I found interesting was when we watched the final, when the two runners-up, Louis and Richard, when they were showing what they do when they're not baking. And Richard is a construction worker, works on building sites and stuff, and Louis was like a graphic designer and worked in an office. And they were showing them around the office and interviewing some of their workmates. But you could see that this was their job, but they were all about, we live for baking. They lived for baking. They loved baking. This was just a job, but they were all about the baking. Do you know what I mean? But wouldn't it be sad, really, or a shame if when they were in their workplaces, even though they lived for baking, as if they felt as if they couldn't tell their work colleagues that they enjoyed baking because they were worried about what their work colleagues might think. And that then the first time their work colleagues know about it is when they're on TV and they're like, oh, did you see Richard on TV? I didn't know he was into baking. Never brought a cake into work. But that would, but they weren't like that. They love baking. Everyone knew about it. But in the same way, it'd be a real shame if, in this day and age, especially if we felt that we couldn't be ourselves, with our friends or family or work colleagues, that we couldn't be ourselves and we couldn't share with them the thing that's most important to us and the thing that we love the most and who we are, and that we couldn't be ourselves with them. That would be a real shame. And so, as church together, how are we going to make this accessible? How can we make this amazing message of God and who he is accessible in our daily lives and as church together? Well, as church together, when we come together, we want to make it easy, as easy as possible to be accessible and to kind of work together and to support one another as we seek to make this accessible. And so that's why whenever as a church together we're planning something or we're putting something on, whether it's an event or a meeting or a course or a project or a club, whatever it is, one of the primary questions and thoughts is, how can we make this accessible? And what is this like for a guest what would this be like for a guest who's coming maybe for the first time? And how can we cater it to be like that? So when you think back to our opening, for example, that we had a few weeks ago, you know, this is the opening of the building. And as a church, we could have done anything. We could have done anything we wanted, but we wanted to make it accessible. So that's why we had the fairground stalls and the bouncy castle and the hot Welsh cakes and the goodie bags with gifts, so that hopefully people would feel welcomed and they'd have a good time and that they would enjoy meeting us as a church. Because, of course, the church isn't this meeting. It's us as people. And it would help facilitate a good time together so they can experience what it's like to be a part of this wonderful community that is church. And the band, they played like a mixture of music that you'd hear on the radio and then some of our own Cornerstone songs that'd be familiar, but people get a flavour of what we love to do together. And Sarah talked about like the history of Cornerstone and who we are, a little presentation. So if you have like never been in Swansea before, you'd be like, oh, right, that makes sense. And then Julian talks about how God wants to bring heaven to earth and that the kingdom of God is near. And that's a passion for us as a church. And so hopefully it was really accessible because we knew, you know, we're going to have friends and family and guests and people we're going to invite and the mayor and people from the community. And Adam invited the police and none of us knew they were coming. And we were like, oh no, like the police are here. Have we done something wrong? Is it too loud? So thanks for letting us know about that, Adam. That was funny. But, you know, so hopefully it was accessible. We wanted to make it accessible, achievable. Or like our Sunday mornings, like this morning, for example. You'll probably notice we had some media and we try and use things that are like in the news or on adverts or on TV or stuff that kind of relates and that is going on in the world that we know about to help us come in and connect with God in a way that we can understand and makes God accessible and easy to understand. And the band, you know, in the mornings, we just tend to have maybe 3 or 4 songs because we love to worship God and to encounter his presence. And hopefully, if you're visiting for the first time and you didn't know any of the songs, hopefully you still enjoyed the music and could experience some of God's love through the worship. But we know we've got like a lot of children here and a lot of people for the first time. And if you don't know any of the songs, you know, if it goes on for a long time, then it starts to become inaccessible because you can't join in and you don't really know what's happening. Whereas tonight, we're going to have a worship night and we can sing for as long as we want and people will come to that knowing that that's how it's going to be. Does that make sense? So that's why we want to make it accessible to our children and visitors and family and friends, and so that when you come, you know this is going to make sense. I remember back in the summer when we did our Father's Day event, and we thought we really want to honor and celebrate all the dads in the area, the dads and the stepdads and the granddads and all of the fellas who are helping to bring up children in this area. We want to honor them and celebrate them. So what can we do for dads? And we thought, well, not many dads are probably going to want to get up early on Father's Day and come to a church meeting. So why don't we throw like a Father's Day experience? And we did it in the afternoon and we had like World Cup stuff and curry tasting and prizes and games and competitions. And Adam gave like a top tips for fathers. And we tried to make it, you know, accessible for people who'd never been before and to celebrate them. And I remember it was one of the children who was on our Gap Food project at the time. Was really excited and he'd invited his dad and they were both going to come together. But then on the day they didn't come and I said to him the next week, he came up to me and he said, oh, sorry we went there, because lots of his friends had been and loads of people from the community had come. He said, oh, sorry we went there. We were going to come, but then my dad didn't want to in case he'd have to sing and in case he'd be singing. So these things are important for us in our thinking and in our planning of how can we make this accessible to people, people who are afraid that they might be singing that week. So we want to make this accessible. Now, I remember a few years ago I was babysitting for the Day family. Well, I wasn't babysitting the boys because they can look after themselves, but I was there for Naomi, really. But the boys were there as well. And Naomi was maybe 8 at the time, little girl, who was doing the kids spot this morning. And we decided we'd go to Asda and we'd choose a film, we'd get some popcorn and we'd watch a film together. So we were looking around and obviously the boys were keen on like some action and Naomi was like looking at the Disney films and I was trying to find something between, and it's good like negotiation skills between the three of us. Fair play to the boys, they did well. And I spotted Stardust and I was like, oh, I saw that around Christmas time. It was on the TV and there's some action, there's some comedy, but it's a fairy tale. I think that'll work. It's a PG, that'll be great. So we hired Stardust and we put it in and I was watching it and I was like, yeah, there's a good choice, you know, the boys will find this funny. But then as I was watching it, I was starting to remember what comes up in the films. and some of the baddies that are in it and some of the more scary scenes. And now, I wasn't watching it like I was before. I was watching it through the eyes of the 8-year-old girl sitting next to me. And I was thinking, oh no, where's the remote? I'm going to have to skip a bit in a minute. It's like, let's have a popcorn break. Quick, let's have a popcorn break into the kitchen. Then I'm going back, trying to find the bit. Okay, where do I need to skip? Where do I need to skip? And the thing was, now I was watching this film, not like me as a 24-year-old adult watching this film, but I was watching it again through the eyes of an 8-year-old. And it completely changed the perspective on what I was watching. And that's the same. Like, if you ever, you know, invite a friend or something along to an event or a meeting or, you know, church like this, and they've never been before, it's only when they're sitting next to you that you see it through their eyes and you realize, oh wow, this feels completely different when you've never, you know, when you've never been here before. You don't really know what's going on, potentially. So, do you know what I mean? So when we're planning stuff, we want to be thinking through those eyes, just like when I was looking through the eyes of an 8-year-old, and be thinking of that in our planning to make things accessible. And it's the same truth, it's the same reality, it's the same power, it's the same God that we're meeting with and encountering and seeing his reality, but it's doing it in an accessible way, in a way that is able to be reached, easily obtained, easy to understand, friendly and approachable. So what are some of the different ways that we're doing this as a church? Mentioned a few. Some of the other things, we got like great social events on, which are easy to invite our friends to, like the Christmas party, so that when you're, you know, sharing, like Jenny was with Purba, and Purba's grilling Jenny with all her questions, that Jenny could invite her to the Christmas party that's just fun together, and she gets to meet us as a community, as a family, and spend time with us as a church, and realize, oh, Jenny's not the only one, but there's actually a lot of people like-minded like Jenny as well. Because we're a community, and as Julian spoke last week, we're made for relationship with each other, and that's a great thing to experience. And that this is a shared value. This is a value to be accessible, something that we all share together. And that we're there. We're there at these events, and we're friendly and welcoming. Because it'd be a shame if, you know, Adam and Jenny this morning stand up and, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you. Hope you feel welcome. And then, like, none of us talk to anyone. You know, it wouldn't really work, would it? It just, you know, wouldn't mix. So that we're friendly and welcoming, that we share this, we take this on together. We've got things like great courses like Alpha and Made to Last that we can ask questions and find out how does God impact our lives and what does it mean and what does it look like in reality, and where we like serve our communities and with all our projects and buttons and all those different things going on. And so all of this that we do together as a church, to be accessible as a church and to make Jesus accessible, all of this is to support us in our personal lives, in our individual walk, with our friends, with our families, or in our families, as we live out our faith, as we live out the reality of our relationship with Jesus and the thing that we have discovered, and as we share our stories with people that we know, as we share other people's healing stories and what we've seen God do in our lives and other people's lives, as we share them day in and day out, and as we invite our friends to things, whether it's events or meetings or whatever's going on, and as we pray for them, whether it's, you know, there and then when someone says, oh, I got a bad back, or oh, I'm struggling with this, and you say, oh, well, can I pray for you? Or, you know, in our own prayer time, when we're, you know, just praying with God on our own, and we're praying for our friends that God would bless them and that God would help them and that they would know his goodness in their lives as well. So all that we do as a church is to support these things that we each do every day. And so to finish today, last week, Jacob, who's one of the new students, was saying he had someone to visit, and he said, can you recommend somewhere in Swansea to visit for lunch on a Sunday? So he'd asked a few people, and we were having a think, and he was like, you know, somewhere near town. And I was like, oh, well, what better than the Meridian Tower? But I would imagine, I'd never been to the Meridian Tower on a Sunday afternoon, but I imagine it's pretty busy. So imagine that one day, just like Jacob last week, you got someone who's come over, and you think, oh, I've got no food in the house. Let's go out somewhere for a meal. I know, they've never been to Swansea. Let's go to the Meridian Tower, because then they can have a whole view over Swansea. So you drive down. You park, you go up the Meridian Tower, your ears pop in the elevator, mine always do that, and then you get to the front, and you walk towards the Grape and Olive, the restaurant in there, and you walk up to the front, and the waiter's there, and you say, oh, hi there, could I have a table for three, please? And the waiter looks, and he says, oh, do you have a name? Have you booked? You're like, oh, no, sorry, I haven't. And the waiter says, oh, I'm really sorry, but It's Sunday afternoon, Sunday lunch. It's really busy. Like, all the tables are gone. I mean, second down, oh, I don't know, maybe fit you in maybe if you were willing to wait like an hour and a half, but even then it's going to be a bit of a squeeze. And you got it at the front of the queue, but you're about to be turned away. When just then, as you're standing in the queue, you can hear a bit of like a bit of a commotion behind you. And behind you down the corridor, in walks David Beckham and his three boys. And they walk in because the Swans are playing and they've been doing some work for Sky Sports and they're just coming for some lunch and they've never been to Swansea before either, so they want to have a look. And in walks David Beckham and he walks past the queue of people waiting and he comes up to the waiter and says, "Oh, hi there. I'd like a table for three, please." Now, do you think the waiter would go, "Oh, I'm really sorry, David, but we're fully booked. I mean, wait an hour and 20 minutes, but even then it's going to be a bit of a squeeze, and this guy's coming before you." I mean, do you think that would happen? There's no way that would, there's no way they would turn away David Beckham. Is there like some way, somehow, a table would be found? You know what I mean? If they had to kick someone else off, or like, hurry up, we'll give it to you for free, just move out the way, David Beckham's here. I mean, somehow a table would be found, right? Because why? Because he's David Beckham, and you know, he's got access to that kind of thing. But here's the point. To Jesus, each one of us is like a David Beckham, and each one of us has access to him. There is no barriers. Jesus is there. And any time, any place, we can access him, and we can come before him, because he loves us, because he is there for us, and that is who he is. And so this morning, I got with me some of these access all area passes. And in a minute, the band are going to come up and play. And if you'd like to respond to what we've been looking at this morning about the value of being accessible, and you think, yeah, actually, I want to commit to this and to make making Jesus accessible a value by which I live my life, together as a church and to support the church's vision of making Jesus accessible and in my own personal life as well. I want to be someone that values making Jesus accessible. Then I'd like you to, some people are going to stand around the side with their bands and to come and get a wristband and put it on or find somewhere to stick it as like a commitment for God to say, yes, I want to make Jesus accessible and this is a value for me too and I share this value as a church. And also, this morning, if you've never responded to Jesus and you've never kind of, yeah, reached out to that access that you have that he offers you and you think, actually, I would like to be in relationship with God. I would like to know God's plan for my life. I would like to know this and to live it and experience it and to have eternity with God when I die and to know him right now in my life. That is something I would like. Then I'm going to give you the opportunity when you come and get your band, I'll pray first, but you can choose to take advantage of that access that you have and to give your life to God and choose to follow him and have all of the great promises that he has for you in your life. So should we pray together? If the band want to come up, that'd be great. Yeah, Lord God, I thank you that we have access to you because of what Jesus has done. Jesus, I thank you that you are accessible, and that is who you are. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and empower us as a church and guide us as we seek to make and help make you accessible. And Lord God, we stand here together and we want to say that we want to make this a value of ours, that we will be people who make this great news, the best news that we could ever hear, the best thing that we could ever do, accessible to the people we know. And Lord God, for myself and for any people here that want to take advantage of that, then want to grab hold of that access that they have, Lord, I say that we're sorry, Father, for the things that we have done wrong and where we aren't living in relationship with you. And we choose today to follow you and to take that access that Jesus has bought for us on the cross. And we choose to follow you today. And I pray that you would bring us into your family and we'd come back into relationship with you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.